This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To the south of France, to my good colleague, Simon Constable, Occitane. And we now go into the good news about the weather. Apparently, it will again be warm somewhere on the earth, not here in New England. Simon, a very good day to you. This is Schadenfreude from your point of view, because you decided to move to the south of France, no longer the gray skies of Scotland, and no longer the frigid temperatures of New England when it turns like this, days after days of below of single-digit Fahrenheit, which is cold, Simon, I guarantee it, and the ice fields are tricky. You, however, live in paradise. Give me your temperature range, Simon. Good day to you.
Good day to you, John. Temperature, first thing, 47 Fahrenheit, went up to 60 Fahrenheit. Sunny on and off, you know, sun comes out, sun comes, goes behind the clouds, then back and forth, and a light breeze. So really, really quite nice, and a lovely day to walk the dog.
What about the daffodils? How are they doing?
Very well. They're springing up everywhere around our property anyway, and that's absolutely lovely. And you also see the birds out en masse beginning the mating season, and I've seen a few hares bobbing around, and they're probably going into mating season rather soon as well.
And the herds, the cattle herds and the sheep herds, do you see them?
No, the cattle herds are being kept in indoors facilities at the moment, not outdoor facilities. I expect that to change over the next few weeks, and they will go out onto rough grazing.
Simon lives in the midst of the farm belt of France. This is the national rally, no matter which way he faces, Marine Le Pen's supporters, and they are extremely good neighbors, Simon has testified over the last year, and know the ways of the world. And this is not only the agricultural center of France, it's the agricultural center of Europe, and producing excellent food. So we go from food to commodities. Let us begin checking on European energy, because the conversation between Mr. Rubio and Lavrov, of the foreign minister of Russia, begins a process known as peace negotiations. Do you see any change in energy, Simon?
Not much change. Brent crude oil is now $76 a barrel. $76 a gallon would be way, way, way too much. So that's down by 5.5% over the last year. It's up a tiny bit from last week. We're not seeing much change there. Diesel prices are okay at the moment, still well below $2 a liter, which is very good for us. TTF, which is basically the gas price, is 49 euros per megawatt hour. That's up 103% over the last year, but that really hasn't changed much from last year. And then we come down to other things that are rather important. Copper is at $4.58 a pound, and that's up 18% over the last year. That's usually seen as a good economic signal. However, there are two things below that I have in the list here that are not very good things for the economy. And one is lithium price has dropped 20% over the last year, and iron ore, which is used to make steel, has dropped by 17% to $107 per ton. That's really quite a drop, and it's an indication that the construction business and the manufacturing business, and that includes cars and all the rest of it, and industrial work, that's all been really falling apart over the last year, and it's not very good. What we've also seen, and we've talked about this for many months now, is the bourgeois food. So that's orange juice, coffee, and cocoa. Orange juice is now at $3.43 a pound. That's down 7.9% on the year, but it was a lot lower than that more than a year ago. It really has gone up because of bad growing conditions. Coffee has had a similar situation. That's up 122% over the last year, and I think everyone's seeing that themselves at the grocery stores. And cocoa is up 71% at $10,254 per ton. It used to be less than 500 $5,000 a ton. So this is a huge, huge increase, and that hasn't really changed massively over the last few weeks. Wheat is edging up a little bit on a weaker dollar at $6.04 per bushel.
No shocks. So, no shocks here. No shocks. I didn't hear one.
No, no shocks here. It's very stable. It's very stable. It's not, we've not seen any massive moves. I mean, we've had no invasions of oil rich countries happening that are new. And that's really what happened with Russia's invasion of Ukraine. That was a big shock, not only to the energy business, but also to the food side of things. Hopefully we can come back to a normal and more, you know, more affordable things, more affordable chocolate, more affordable coffee, and more affordable orange juice, and the rest of it will slot into order as time passes.
Back home, Simon, Keir Starmer's approval rating, according to the polling that I have from February, early February, he's a 23% approval rating. Your prime minister is not listening to the public. And the first thing I think of is why not? And what I come up with is this tax on families that send their children to private schools, what you call public schools in Britain. The only thing that, from the outside looking in, it looks like Labour is following through with the cliche of making a war on the posh. But you have an example of not posh at all, because a number of your public schools have people who aspire to be well-educated in their region and sacrifice to send their children to school, but with an additional 20% tax, VAT tax, they're not able to. You have a story about the upside-downness of the Labour policy. Please explain.
Yes, this is absolutely fascinating and horrific at the same time. So as of the beginning of this year, 2025, an extra 20% VAT, which is value-added tax, is added to the bill to send your child to a fee-paying school, which would be independent of government schooling. Now, one of the things that we found is that that's been too much for some people. There's a very good example by a story in the Daily Telegraph, and it's just been done absolutely excellently. So a young lady, 13 years old, had her education upended last term after Labour's 20% tax increased her fees by £3,270 a year. Now, that's something like $4,000 to $4,500 more per year. Now, so she can't afford that anymore because her parents can't afford it, even though they've been working double time, and her mother's a nurse practitioner, but she's been working double time. She can't afford it anymore. But this gets even weirder. This child can't find any state-run school within a 20-mile radius. And so the local council, the local county council, local government is now spending £8,200 a year on taxis to send her to a school that is 25 miles away. Now, it's very clear to me that the initial thoughts that the government needed to put a tax on private schools was to fill the coffers of the exchequer, i.e. the treasury. It's not about that. It's about what you said, John. It's about a war on the rich. If this was about money, it would have been pretty much cheaper to say, okay, let's cough up the extra £3,270, keep this young lady in school, and we won't have to pay the other £5,000, which is going to be paid to get her to school via taxi. This is wholly nuts. There aren't enough places for all the displaced private school students, displaced because of the extra cash that's required, in the state schools. This is chaos, and they're making it far worse than it has been. And it's really, really quite shocking. A war on another class doesn't end well ever.
Simon Constable, writing for the Wall Street Journal and other distinguished publications in the south of France, and we're about to take a Simon Constable quiz about movies. I guarantee you will fail. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashley.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor.